Chapter 46. Finance. Adventists give generously if they see results. When the church sees that the ministers are all aglow with the spirit of the work, that they feel deeply the force of the truth, and are seeking to bring others to the knowledge of it, it will put new life and vigor into them. Their hearts will be stirred to do what they can to aid in the work. There is not a class of people in the world who are more willing to sacrifice of their means to advance the cause than our Seventh-day Adventists. If the ministers do not utterly discourage them by their indolence and inefficiency, and by their lack of spirituality, they will generally respond to any appeal that may be made that commends itself to their judgment and consciences. But they want to see fruit. Giving wins converts, who in turn give to win more converts. All our church members should feel a deep interest in home and foreign missions. Great spiritual blessing will come to them as they make self-sacrificing efforts to plant the standard of truth in new territory. The money invested in this work will bring rich returns. New converts, rejoicing in the light received from the Word, will in their turn give of their means to carry the light to others. Some preach only that part of the truth that pleases people, and neglect stewardship. Are you, brethren, preaching that part of the truth that pleases the people, while other parts of the work are left incomplete? Will it be necessary for someone to follow after you and urge upon the people the duty of faithfully bringing all the tithes and offerings into the Lord's treasury? This is the work of the minister, but it has been sadly neglected. The people have robbed God, and the wrong has been suffered because the minister did not want to displease his brethren. God calls these men unfaithful stewards. Stewards. God has placed in our hands the means to carry forward his work. God is constantly bestowing upon you the blessings of this life, and if he asks you to dispense his gifts by helping the various branches of his work, it is for your own temporal and spiritual interest to do so, and thus acknowledge God as the giver of every blessing. God, as the master worker, cooperates with men in securing the means necessary for their sustenance, and he requires them to cooperate with him in the salvation of souls. He has placed in the hands of his servants the means wherewith to carry forward his work in home and foreign missions. But if only half the people do their duty, the treasury will not be supplied with the necessary funds, and many parts of the work of God must be left incomplete. Satan seeks to control the church by controlling money. Satan to his angels. Go, make the possessors of lands and money drunk with cares. If you can make them place their affections upon these things, we shall have them yet. They may profess what they please, only make them care more for money than for the success of Christ's kingdom, or the spread of the truths we hate. Present the world before them in the most attractive light, that they may love and idolize it. We must keep all the means in our ranks we can. The more means they have, the more will they injure our kingdom by getting our subjects. And as they appoint meetings in different places, then we are in danger. Be very vigilant, then. Cause all the distraction you can. Destroy love for each other. Discourage and dishearten their ministers, for we hate them. Hold up every plausible excuse to those that have means, lest they hand it out. Control the money matters if you can, and drive their ministers to want and distress. This will weaken their courage and zeal. Battle every inch of ground. Make covetousness and love of earthly treasures the ruling traits of their character. As long as these traits rule, salvation and grace stand back. Crowd all you can around them to attract them, and they will be surely ours. Not only are we sure of them, but their hateful influence will not be exercised toward others to lead them to heaven. And those who shall attempt to give, put within them a grudging disposition, that it may be sparingly.
Tithes and offerings must not be withheld by givers, even if they are not in harmony with what the conference does. You who have been withholding your means from the cause of God, read the book of Malachi and see what is spoken there in regard to tithes and offerings. Cannot you see that it is not best under any circumstances to withhold your tithes and offerings because you are not in harmony with everything your brethren do? The tithes and offerings are not the property of any man, but are to be used in doing a certain work for God. Unworthy ministers may receive some of the means thus raised, but dare anyone, because of this, withhold from the treasury and brave the curse of God? I dare not. I pay my tithes gladly and freely, saying, as did David, "Of thine own have we given thee." A selfish withholding from God will tend to poverty in our own souls. Act your part, my brethren and sisters. God loves you, and he stands at the helm. If the conference business is not managed according to the order of the Lord, that is the sin of the erring ones. The Lord will not hold you responsible for it if you do what you can to correct the evil. But do not commit sin yourselves by withholding from God his own property. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord negligently or deceitfully. Sermons and Talks 2:74-75. World Church. Support offerings for imperiled institutions. When the Lord places before us an appeal to be responded to, just at the time when offerings are to be made by our people, let the ministers and church officers take up the matter earnestly and vigorously. Let them, as stewards of God, decide what is to be done, and then do it. This is absolutely necessary when our institutions are in so great peril. Holiday gifts should be given to foreign missions. Every dollar and every dime that we can spare is needed now to aid in carrying the message of truth to other lands. At the holiday season, much is spent by our own people upon gifts and various gratifications, which are not only useless, but often hurtful. Appetite is indulged, pride and self-love are fostered, and Christ is forgotten. If the money usually devoted to these objects were all brought into the mission treasury, our foreign missions would be lifted above embarrassment. Shall we not this year consecrate to God not merely a part, but all our holiday gifts for the relief of his cause, which is in so great need? How can we more appropriately celebrate the coming Christmas? How better express our gratitude to God for the gift of his dear Son than by offerings to send to all the world the tidings of his soon coming? Local Church. Tithe is not to be used to care for the house of worship. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. This was to be a continual offering that the house of God might be properly supplied with that which was necessary for his service. His people today are to remember that the house of worship is God's property, and that it is to be scrupulously cared for. But the funds for this work are not to come from the tithe. The tithe is to be used for one purpose: to sustain the ministers whom the Lord has appointed to do his work. It is to be used to support those who speak the words of life to the people and carry the burden of the flock of God. Israelites contributed to church expense. Provision was also made to support the public worship of God. In addition to the tithe, the congregation pledged themselves to contribute yearly a stated sum for the service of the sanctuary. Ministers need some financial ability. Ministers need business ability if they are to deal wisely with their churches. A man who has no business tact may make a minister, but he will lack qualifications that every minister must possess in order to deal wisely in the church and build up the cause. But when a minister is good in the pulpit and, like Elder Hull, fails in management, he should never go out alone. Another should go with him to supply his lack and manage for him. To win souls,
Ministers should show their ingenuity in business lines. There is a necessity of ministers using their powers of ingenuity that they may not be unskillful in the word, and may show their ingenuity in devising and planning in business lines. These faculties should be used in the service of God to win souls to the truth. Real planning and devising are required to bring the sinner out of darkness into the light of truth. Ministers, not specialists in finance.
Ministers carrying too many financial burdens neglect to fulfill their gospel commission. Ministers are not to be called hither and thither to attend board meetings for the purpose of deciding common business questions. Many of our ministers have done this work in the past, but it is not the work in which the Lord wishes them to engage. Too many financial burdens have been placed on them. When they try to carry these burdens, they neglect to fulfill the gospel commission. God looks upon this as a dishonor to his name. Ministers are not set apart to do business or attend committees. Not a few ministers are neglecting the very work that they have been appointed to do. Why are those who are set apart for the work of the ministry placed on committees and boards? Why are they called upon to attend so many business meetings, many times at great distance from their fields of labor? Why are not business matters placed in the hands of businessmen? The ministers have not been set apart to do this work. The finances of the cause are to be managed by men of ability, but ministers are set apart for another line of work.